So if you haven't checked out this morning's video, you got to check it out. We're getting tons of views and a lot of comments. So thank you so much for that. But unfortunately, I missed it on the rates. Rates went up just a little bit more than I thought. There's no economic news today, but today is a very good lesson day. Let's get over to the stock market and explain this. So the other day I was saying, you know, here's what I would suggest if you're poor and broke and you have no money, because a lot of the comments I have down there is like, Dan, I can't buy a house. I got no money, no this, no that, drowning in debt and so forth. We got to change your mindset, okay? But today's a perfect example right through here. Dow tumbles more than 370 points. S&P posts worst week since April as investors dump big tech. So this is a perfect example, especially talking when we're talking about the housing market and so forth. So what we're seeing right here, yeah, the markets are coming back down. I'm not freaking out. I made a ton of money in the last, you know, 6 months so far this year, last year, going all the way up into this. Nice little correction. It was well needed. The stock market was way overvalued. This is how it happens. Okay. But in housing, it's a little different because it's so complex. It's so big. But just to go back to this, if you're investing, you have to understand investing. Let me just give you a little tidbit. What you need to do is, say, for example, you just inherited $100,000. What would you do with it? Well, if your answer would be, I'd throw it all into the stock market, or I'd do this, or I'd do that, you have to be careful, okay? The piece of, I would throw it all in the market. The reason why you don't do it all at once is exactly this. You do what's called dollar cost averaging. You take that money and you buy incrementally over a little short period of time or a long period of time, okay? But we don't have that luxury with housing. Okay, so in the housing market, you have to do your due diligence. And it's gonna be the biggest investment you're gonna ever make in your life. And it's gonna be the biggest debt you ever have in your life. So be careful. Be completely careful before you look into buying a house. I'm not everybody should be homeowners. It is a huge piece of an asset. It has great appreciation, great tax benefits over time, but not everybody is cut out to be a homeowner. So that's the first thing, the thing. And right through here, a nice little correction that we're having in the markets. It's not crashing. I'm not advising everybody to sell everything they own. So that's what's going on in the stock market right now. But let's go over to this piece of the puzzle. The Federal Reserve's meeting in, when is that? I think it's 11 days yet. It is 11 days from now. What are they going to do? Well, most likely they're not going to do anything at this meeting. So here's the probabilities of what the Federal Reserve is going to do at the next meeting. There's a 95% chance they're going to do nothing, and I'm on that bandwagon as well. But now this is the number we're going to teeter on. How big is this number ever going to get back to 100% that we saw the other day? Well, another former Fed official just came out today on CNBC and had an interview. Let's take a glimpse at this, because we really want to be secure this time of what the Federal Reserve is going to do, because they threw us many head fakes over the last year and a half. And so let's see what his context is today and break this down. And then when he's done, I'll put it in layman's terms for you like we usually do. So let's get to it over here. Let's get to the beginning and take it away.
Growth is in focus. And next week, we're going to get set to get our first look at the second quarter GDP. Here to talk about what the latest data could mean for the Fed and its rate path, Dennis Lockhart, former president of the Atlanta Fed. He's now a professor at Georgia Tech. Good morning to you. We're all trying to gauge, handicap, or otherwise, read the tea leaves about what Jay Powell may do next and whether he, in fact, may lower interest rates come this fall, something that seemed to be off the table just a couple weeks ago that may be on the table again. What do you think?
Well, I'm listening this week, of course, to all the speakers, and they seem to be expressing openness to a rate cut in the near future. That could be September, could be November or December, but they're certainly not disabusing the markets that could happen. So I think September is on the table, but it will depend upon how the next two or three inflation prints actually come out.
And how do you expect those inflation prints to come out?
Boy, I tell you, I start from the perspective that data comes in sort of in a sawtooth manner. Sometimes one month jumps up over the other, and it's hard in a short time frame to really discern exactly what the trend is. Certainly what we've been seeing in the second quarter, is encouraging inflation numbers that are trending downward, but still, we're pretty elevated over the 2% targets. So, you know, I'm hopeful that we see a consistent picture of small decreases in the pace of inflation.
Right. Two pieces of data or information that I thought were interesting. Yesterday, we had John Gray, who runs Blackstone, on the broadcast, mm-hmm. and he said that he was seeing in their portfolio, which is pretty large around the world, that he believed that inflation was coming down. I don't know. Is there either a specific firm or place that you look for in terms of that data?
Well, I try as best I can to do what I did when I was at the Fed, and that is I try to form a synthesis from probably 10 to 15 different inflation indicators, including some of the trimmed mean and median kinds of numbers that come out of some of the reserve banks, and then pull it together and step back and ask myself, well, what's the trend here?
Right.
The trend is clearly a let's just say a tentative resumption of disinflation. I don't think it's one number, Andrew, right. And I don't think the committee members look at just simply one number.
What did you think of Jay Powell's comments where he effectively suggested, look, we got to move before we get to 2%, that if we've waited to get down to 2%, we've waited too long?
Yeah, that's been the practice in many respects, just simply because of the lags in monetary policy having an effect on the economy. It's the old where the puck is going question. And he's repeated that several times. To me, that means that if we see continuing progress, we get closer using the PCE index to 2.5 or even a little below 2.5% on an annualized basis, then they'll be ready to make their first move.
So, intriguing. So he didn't come out. He still seems like he's on the Fed because he's real reluctant to say anything. So his take on this is kind of the same, and you can see right through here. Here's my news feed. So this is behind the scenes on what I see on a daily basis. This is a paid subscription that you don't have access to. If you'd like this, you're a loan officer. I got it down below in the description. But okay, so let's now see what's going on in the headlines. With mortgage rates, we have the MBS market now down 13. There's just no data today. So the only thing I can think of is, you know, just maybe the election piece of the equation that's a complete mess right now. We still have wars. We have this. There's just uncertainty everywhere. So you now have the Federal Reserve coming out saying, okay, most likely we're going to cut rates in September. But then you have the political sphere right now. Just, you know, nobody knows what's going on in the Biden administration. Who's going to run? Is he going to stay in the race? Even his fellow people are starting to implode. That's not good for the country, folks. So you know kind of where I stand on all this stuff, but it's bad politics right now. They have to come up with a candidate that can, you know, solve all of our problems. And, you know, my feelings are is kind of like a lot of people are saying right now, I don't think Biden is that. So I feel bad. You know, you see a lot of the conversations he's has. My mother is his age, and it's kind of like talking to her when you see a lot of his conversations going through. So would I want my mom running my company or, you know, the country? No. So I wouldn't want that. So that's my take on it. Please, no political comments down below. I just want what's good for all of us. So that's that part of it. Again, the CME saying there's going to be a rate cut in September. That's all the news that we got for today. So I hope you enjoyed my videos this week. If you did, the one thing I want to ask you guys is please do me one favor. Subscribe down below and help me get my count up so more and more people can see our videos and I can help more people understand real estate and the housing market in general. So that's my ultimate goal here. So if you're out there, you're like, hey, Dan, what are you? What do you do? I'm actually a loan officer. I'm a loan officer at ServBank. It's a federal bank. I'm licensed all throughout the country. But the nice, I'll say the unique thing about what I do and about ServBank is we're also a broker. We're one of the country's largest brokers as well. So that gives me the opportunity to work with up to 50 other lenders at this time. And what that helps you is you're going to have one application and one credit pool. So if you're concerned about your credit getting pulled by every lender you call out, when's the last time you bought a car? You walked in the car dealership and you left and you got on your phone, you got 40 credit inquiries and you don't want that anymore. please check us out. It's one credit pool, one application, and we're going to shop your loan to over 50 of the country's largest lenders. And we don't only shop just rate, we're also concerned about the fees. So when it comes to fees, if you're just struggling right now, you're like, Dan, I got the money for the down payment, but I have no more money and I know there's closing costs. Well, check and see if there's a grant available for you. There's a click right up through there. You can use that money for down payment, closing costs, whatever you want to use it for. So that's the one thing I would suggest you do if you're out there looking for your first house. But if you're out there and you're like, Dan, I'd love to use the equity in my house to buy another home. How do I refinance? I'm in the current loan right now and my rate's up there. What are my refinance options? If you have questions like that, just click the Apply Now tab. That doesn't just take you to an application. It actually takes you to our calendar where you can set up an appointment with me, Alan, or David. Those are the only three consultants we have here. It's not a call center. And you'll set up an appointment with us so we can answer all the questions that you have in regards to home ownership, how to pull out the equity in your home to maybe buy your first investment property, or having to even refinance that high interest rate that you have. Is right now the time? I don't know, but we can at least check out the numbers and see if it's helpful for you. So my name is Dan Frio. Go to therateupdate.com. Check us out. If you'd like to just give us a call to see, you know, answer any of your questions right there on the spot, we can do that as well. You're going to scroll down to the bottom of our website, and there it is. Our number is 844-775-5626, or you can reach me by email right through here at dan@therateupdate.com, and yes, it will be me answering. Thanks so much for watching, guys. Have a fantastic weekend. Check out the videos I have over the weekend. They're kind of funny, amusing, entertaining, and they're informative. So don't forget to check those out, and I will be back here next week, same time, same place. Take care. Bye-bye.